Good morning. Welcome to our conference call to present the results of the first quarter of 2026. This event is being recorded and has simultaneous interpretation into English. Listen to the audio in English, please press the interpretation button at the lower right-hand side of the screen. This event will be divided into two parts. In the first part, our CEO, Delano Valentim, and our CFO, Rafael Sperendio, will present the main deliveries of the quarter. The presentation in Portuguese or English can be downloaded from our investor relations website at the address www.bbseguridaderi.com.br. In the second part of this conference call, we are going to have a questions and answers session when analysts and investors will be allowed to ask questions. I will come back after the presentations to give you the instructions to ask questions. Now, I would like to give the floor to Delano, who is going to talk about the main highlights of the quarter. Delano, please, the floor is yours. Thank you, Philip. Good morning. Good morning, everyone who is here with us. It's a pleasure to be with you today to present the results of the first quarter of 2026 for BB Seguridade. First, I would like to thank everybody to being here for your attendance, everyone on this live streaming. I would like to thank the investors and especially our customers for the trust that they place on BB Seguridade. This support is fundamental for our work. I would also like to extend my special thanks to all our employees and sales force of Banco do Brasil. You are the ones who make the difference in the day-to-day of our business. And once again, you rocked. We have had a very challenging beginning of the year. Still, despite the adverse macroeconomic scenario, we were able to stand out on several fronts. This has been only possible thanks to the well-defined strategy and strong discipline in its execution, a work that began as early as November last year. Within this context, I would like especially to highlight our performance in pensions, a segment in which we have played a leading role in the first 3 months of the year, accounting for more than 50% of the market's positive net inflow. In premium bonds, we have also had important advances. March was one of the best months in our history, possibly the best since our IPO. In the insurance vertical, we recorded relevant achievements with emphasis on the homeowners and farmers' Golden Life products. We are fully aware that the rest of the year will remain challenging. However, we are confident that the solutions we are delivering, which originally had the main objective of adding value to the business, but they have proven to be extremely important also to mitigate some of the effects of the current macroeconomic scenario. I am convinced that we will continue to constantly evolve and deliver consistent results, such as the ones we are going to present here today to you. Our managerial net income reached 2.2 billion BRL. A growth of more than 11% compared to the same period last year. The operating net income of net of taxes grew 2.2%, mainly reflecting the growth of revenues with management fees and the improvement of Brasilprev's operational efficiency, the good performance of brokerage revenues, and the reduction of the loss ratio in our insurance operations. In addition, we had a very relevant contribution from the investment income, which grew almost 60% compared to the previous year. In our assessment, these are robust numbers, especially considering the current environment of high uncertainty and volatility, once again reinforcing the resilience of our business model. Going beyond the bottom line of our financial statements, I would like to highlight some operational indicators. In the insurance segment, Total retained premium was 3.6 billion BRL in the period, remaining practically flat as compared to last year. This contrasts with a line of written premiums, which demonstrated a slow decrease. In view of the current moment of interest cycle, we have adopted measures with the objective of preserving premiums earned by the insurer, among which I would like to highlight the increase of risk retention in agricultural insurance, which went to 25%, and the expansion of the corporate credit portfolio eligible for lenders insurance, an initiative that I have been highlighting since last year, and which in the first quarter alone has contributed with 182 million in written premiums. In pensions, reserves reached a balance of 484 billion BRL in March 2026, very close to the mark of half a trillion BRL, with a growth of more than 10% in 12 months. As I have mentioned before, we have had a very solid performance in Banco do Brasil's network in terms of collection of pension, which combined with a significant reduction in outflows led to a net inflow of 3.9 billion BRL. It's worth remembering that in the same period of the previous year, we recorded a net outflow of approximately 1.5 billion BRL. This performance is the result of a commercial strategy designed with Banco do Brasil's network still in November 2025. Finally, in premium bonds, collection grew almost 8%, reaching 1.8 billion BRL. We have achieved leadership in contributions and maintained the leadership in reserves. Also in this segment, we paid out 24 million BRL in raffle prizes in the quarter, a growth of almost 55% compared to the same period last year. With this, I end my presentation and give the floor to Rafael, who's going to give you details, more details about the results of each one of our business lines. Thank you very much. Thank you, Delano. Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to start on page number four. As Delano said in his presentation, the net income of 2.2 with 11% growth year-on-year, quite significant contribution of that investment income. Now, ever since we are listed, this is the third cycle of decreasing interest rates that we are going through. And as far as we know, this cycle of cuts is likely to be slightly more gradual and slower in terms of interest rates, which is positive for the company's bottom line, and when we have more time to react. On the other hand, it's a slightly more difficult environment, commercially speaking, especially in lines that depend slightly more on credit originate, especially in terms of credit life and rural insurance. So very good result, positive in the investment income, only slightly more than 180 million, contributing with almost 23% to the net income. Now, breaking down the result for the two main components, as I said, 224 growth in net income with a significant contribution from the investment income, considering rates and excluding mark to market, 75. Here there is an effect of Selic and the cost of liability, in addition to the update of deferred numbers at Brasilprev, considering IGPM deflation. So there's a time mismatch, remembering that the benefits are updated by inflation rates and liabilities with a lag of 1 month. I'm not going to place so much emphasis, 180 million, and this ends up being zero. And so this is a time mismatch. It's 1 month of lag because there was a negative It was negative in the first quarter last year, positive first quarter this year, but it tends to be flat in the long term. And here also, it's slightly less negative this quarter, but the main highlight is the Selic and the volume and rate charge ex mark to market. The change in the operating result was 37 million BRL plus, especially because of credit life and rural insurance. Those were the main drivers for the lower loss ratio, with 59 million in the bottom line. 25 million here for the growth of the net income was the growth of revenues from management fee at Brasilprev, because an exceptional performance that we had in terms of net inflow as part in terms of net inflow. And this contributed to the growth in brokerage revenues, adding 11 million after taxes into our bottom line. Now, going into operation by operation, broken down with more details, insurance. So, 2% drop year on year, very much influenced by the products that are more credit dependent, and a better performance of the products that are not dependent on credit origination, especially home insurance, corporate, and with a growth of 22%, home insurance and corporate going 4.5%. Life is the only product that is not related to credit origination, which ended up performing and having a negative performance, minus 4.9%. But this is the portfolio we are working on with a full to fully revitalize this line. In terms of retained premiums, it's kind of flat year on year, very much influenced by the breaking down of written premiums, a smaller contribution from crop insurance. It's only 25% of the risk for us, considering the measures that we use to try and attenuate the downwards effect. And especially here, because of increasing risk retention in crop insurance, that is now is 25% if we consider the composition of the portfolio. So credit life, Delano mentioned in his presentation, expansion of the addressable portfolio. We ended up having a good performance in the segment, in the corporate segment, which kind of attenuated the drop. And that's we see some difficulties in the segment of individuals. With this composition, retained earned premiums, we grew year on year. And in the buildup of the result, we see a slight worsening of 20 BPS in the combined ratio. And this worsening is because of commissions ratio, explained by two factors. Number one, and the main one, is related to what I said before, the dynamics, and especially crop insurance. So, with more risk retention, has led us to have a slower volume of revenue of premiums for reinsurance. So here, when we talk about crop insurance, and this line in reinsurance is a reducer of acquisition expenses, and this has was the main driver explaining this higher commission ratio. The second, but less, slightly less in important, is the composition with a higher share of crop insurance with lower commissions. So, if we look at the composition of written premiums leading to slightly commissions, which kind of fully offsets the drop in loss ratio. And what we have here is an increase in G&A ratio affected by more expenses in software. So here, the investment income with a year-on-year up by 1%, and then the managerial net income with a Y-on-I 1% compared to last year. Now moving to pension, This is an operation that was the main highlight in this first quarter, as I said in the beginning, with contributions growing 9%, getting to 15 billion BRL, very good quality. So net inflow was 3.9 billion, with net outflows of 1.5 that we had in the first quarter last year, significant drop in the rate of redemptions, which has been an important factor that led us to a 10% growth in our reserves, of our pension reserves. So, revenues from management fee grew 6% year on year because of the reduction in average management fee, which is related to this movement of concentration of allocation in lower risk products that covers a lower management fee, and that's why we're seeing this dilution on the average management fee that is built. And then lower operational efficiency, a 2-point drop in the average management fee, and then added to a substantial growth in the net investment income of 270 million, coming especially from what I said of deflation of the IGPM with a lag of 1 month added to the high in IPCA, almost 1 point above the first quarter last year. So you see the growth in revenues and net investment income driving the 51% growth in our managerial net income in the first quarter year on year. Now, in our premium bonds, an 8% growth year on year in collections, a 4% growth in our premium bond reserves in 12 months. This is a result of the longer times for the bonds, so more lottery prizes paid. We paid out 24 million BRL in the first quarter, 50% growth year on year, a considerable improvement in the net investment income, almost twice bigger than a net investment income in the first quarter last year, with 2.1 points. And it's worth remembering an important factor here. From 2024 to 2025, we transitioned with pre-locked exposure because of volatility in the macroeconomic scenario in late 2024. And this curve closed very fast in January. And you're going to remember we had a negative adjustment of hedge that impacted the net investment income of Q1 2025. So this was one-off effect, and then it normalized in the second quarter, but this kind of explains most of this quite significant growth in the net investment income year on year, which was the main driver here for the growth in the net income. So 81 million with a 51% year on year growth. Finally, our brokerage businesses with a growth of 1% year on year. And as I said, because of collections in pension plans, and so it went from 9.6% to 11.4% the first quarter last year to first quarter this year. Net margin was 61.7%. This is a quite significant contribution in the investment income because of the integrality of BB Corretora financial incomes are allocated in post-fixed instruments, and that's why the net income had a growth that was higher than the revenue, 3% up year on year because of this better net income margin and better investment income. Lastly, our guidance. So, considering the three indicators that we have, we performed within expected in terms of PGBL and VGBL pension plans, reserves of Brasilprev. And so it was 8 to 11, and we closed at the top. In terms of written premiums for Brasilseg, we are within the range, a drop of 2.3, and we ended with a drop of actual numbers of 2.3% in the first quarter, non-interest operating result. So we expect for the year a drop of between 7 and 3%, and we ended the first quarter with a growth of 1.3%. Very good performance, but for now, considering all the uncertainty that still remains, especially related to climate, we are going to have a predominance of El Niño in the second half of the year. And yes, this may affect winter crops and the loss ratio in terms of home insurance and corporate insurance. 2025 is the weakest comparison basis that we have, even though we exceeded, so we should be very cautious, and there's nothing that will lead us to review this range. And so we'd rather wait and see what happens during the year to see whether there is an indication that will lead us to review this range, even though the likelihood today is to keep. We are likely to remain on the top portion of this range. So this is my presentation, and I'm going to join Delano for the questions and answers session. We are back for our questions and answers session. And if you want to submit a question in writing, please click on the Q&A button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, and we'll try and answer all questions here in our live stream. And if we cannot, we are going to respond to you by email right after the end of our virtual meeting. If you want to ask a question live, please just click on the raise hand button. And we're going to allow you to ask questions. As a reminder, you can ask the questions either in Portuguese or English, but we are always going to answer in Portuguese with a simultaneous interpretation into English. Our first question comes from Antonio Ruette from the Bank of America. Good morning, Antonio. You can open your microphone and ask your question. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. And I have two questions. One about rural insurance and the investment income. In terms of rural insurance, as Jens Sperendio said in the guidance, that you don't think it's cautious to review the guidance for operating result. So I would like to understand that a little bit better. How do you see the risk until the middle of the year, especially for rural, considering the El Niño? And how do you see this as a whole, and how did you see it thinking of the resumption of the growth in premiums in terms of rural insurance? So it's just a comment on that. And the second question is related to investment income. We have no guidance for investment income, but which are the prevailing trends after the first quarter for the rest of the year? I would love to hear that. Antonio, now beginning with the first question and your question about rural insurance. So, Today, according to the most up-to-date predictions, is related to the expectation of having El Nino in the second half, and this might affect the winter crop. When we're cautious that we say it's too premature to change the guidance for operating result, the main uncertainty is related to a loss ratio, but we are not going to look just to crop insurance. So Brazil Seg is much less sensitive to crop insurance compared to what it used to be 2, 3 years ago. But when we talk about El Niño, it's always important to consider the effect it may have. And just remembering, in a very simplified way, El Niño, usually we see a higher incidence of rainfall compared to the average in the center and south of the country, and the center north, more draft or drought, better saying. We are less sensitive to El Niño than to La Niña. Now, when we look at the portfolio as a whole, we need to consider the effect of m more rainfall. Is its effect on home insurance, mortgage insurance, corporate insurance compared to what we had 2 years ago in Rio Grande do Sul. So when we look at the prospects, the increasing likelihood related to intensity, so now we need to observe along the year, what happens along the year to understand the actual impact of a more severe El Niño in our bottom line, and to see if what we delivered in the first quarter year and year in terms of operational result, whether it's truly sustainable until the end of the business year. For the time being, this is not clear yet. As to your second question, in terms of investment income, considering the results of Q4, we have a few sensitivities with the main variables of inflation, IGPM, IPCA, and interest rate. Ever since, lots has changed. And if we observe, I'm not going to make any economic forecasts, considering the focus report published yesterday, considering the Selic rate that is implied today in the structure of interest rates. So according to what we see today, we are going to have another two cuts of 0.25 BPS along the year. What we see is a more positive effect than what we were seeing for the Selic, and a more negative impact on the side of inflation. And when we consider these three drivers, they kind of offset each other. According to what we see, it's likely that we're going to have a neutral impact considering the most up-to-date projections for the investment income in 2026, a more beneficial scenario than what we were designing considering the information that we had available in February. Thank you. Thank you, Antonio. Our next question comes from Marcelo Mizrahi from Bradesco. Mizrahi, you can ask your question, please. Can you hear me? About the operational dynamics, it got my attention. The thing about a pension, I think that there is some uncertainty in terms of the prospects for the year. I would like you to explain how do you justify such a strong performance in the beginning of the year in terms of inflows and also admin rates. This is it. Thank you very much, Marcelo. I'm going to start, and Rafa is going to complement. Well, for pension last year, we had a bottom line that fell short from what we would like to have in terms of outflows. We had significant outflow, and we suffered in the third quarter. And we started designing our commercial strategy last year. Together with the bank and Brasilprev, we understood what would be the best commercial strategy. And we had a quite significant success. And for the rest of the EU, we should remain cautious. But performance, not just in absolute numbers, but also considering the scope and the new customers that we have and the new allocations, this makes us confident. But for the rest of the year, we are kind of cautious because our outflow rate was well below what we were forecasting, and this combined with record allocations that we have had, there was a significant and a relevant share of the market, more than 50% of net inflows. So we're happy with the actions that we implemented. We are steady on the implementation of our strategy, our commercial efforts, with the results that have a quite positive effect of the sales force of Banco do Brasil. We were aware of that strength, but we have had quite a pleasant surprise when we saw that what we designed and what we expected was even better. So for the rest of the year, we remain cautious, so that in future quarters we can continue delivering quite positive results. As to the fee, and Rafa can get into more detail. It was better in the first quarter, and we hope that for the rest of the year it will remain flat. And there are many studies going on to see the performance of how the performance of our funds has been performing. And this is very good. But we want to remain at the same levels for the rest of the year. Well, Ms. Rahi, there is the economic scenario. With a more gradual and slower. It favors us having less volatility. There is the incentivized bonds are less appealing, so to speak, and also the internal movement that we have implemented of reduction. We have taken out risk from the funds, and this helps reducing the volatility in terms of return. Considering we have a low exposure to credit risk, and what we have seen in terms of our default exposure was minimal or none in some cases. And combined with everything, with a very juicy, a very low share. So the possibility of return has contributed to a lower outflow. A better inflow volume. And combining everything, there is an issue of a more favorable overall environment. Just in conclusion, has there been any change in your commercial practices, any special promotions in terms of cash back or some way of paying off customers, taking out the impact of the tax for inflows, and the concern. A first quarter that was very significant and will remain relevant. Thank you so much. Our commercial strategy involves multiple aspects. We have had since last year a few promotions for the transferring. We have continued just like what the market has been doing. We have improved our commercial strategies, and together with Brasilprev, we are closer. And with all these movements, we were able to get to the result that we have mentioned. There are some external factors, as Rafa mentioned. We do not believe there was an advance, but we also believe that occupying the space of the 600,000 BRL not to pay the IOF, the tax on financial operations. So, for the rest of the year, I'm not sure it would be our forecast, but want to keep positive results, that's for sure, to reinforce commercial actions to make sure that for the rest of the year, we're not going to have a stronger deterioration and to keep the level of reserves and outflows flat as we are seeing today. Thank you. Thank you, Marcelo. Our next question comes from Ricardo Buchpiguel from BTG. Good morning, Ricardo. You can open your microphone and ask your question. Thank you very much for taking my question. What should we expect from acquisition costs and brokerage revenues at Brasilprev, considering gross contributions? Because we have noted the stability in terms of acquisition costs, whereas contributions have grown a lot. And then they've been growing in the brokerage. Considering that other acquisition costs may be impacted. Just clarifying, it depends a lot on the composition. So if it's slightly more concentrated on sporadic events, it's about 1.5 in the gross collections. It's more in periodical kinds of products, it will be closer to 2%. And so what we're seeing in the first quarter is exactly that. So good contribution from periodical payment and also with periodical products. I said sporadic, but more contribution in the volume of sporadic contributions and in periodical payments. Another factor that has helped in the composition, and you mentioned quite robust growth in brokerage revenues at the BB brokerage house. There is a reduction in the expansion with a return of commissions in plans that are canceled in less than 12 months. So redemptions has a reflection with a movement of outflow, an overall outflow movement that is a lot less intense than what we saw in the first quarter of last year. And also with products or allocations that were canceled, where the brokerage needs to refund commission to Brasilprev. And so on the side of the brokerage house, we should consider the cancellations. Thank you so much. Next question is from Daniel Vaz from Safra. Daniel, you may open your microphone and ask your question, please. Thank you very much for taking my question. I would like to look at rural insurance premiums. I think someone else has already asked this question, but What is the push that you have in terms of originations in Banco do Brasil? So even though the portfolio is virtually stable, and so they gave up 35 billion in NP, it's a longer portfolio with some waiting time. So if you look in terms of origination, so it's more selective, requiring more collaterals and considering the risk framework that they are designing there. With discounting the impacts of the war, that will have an impact in the second half of this origination, considering a very tighter or narrower margin. Now, looking at that and considering too your insurance business, I would like to understand whether this worsens your scenario for 26, 27 in terms of rural insurance, both in terms of renegotiations, because insurance in this scenario is going to be smaller and in smaller originations, considering all the context, was this expected in your guidance for 2026? So my first reaction is more negative, and it would be nice to hear from you. And does this have any effect? Daniel, thank you very much for your question. Well, it's not an easy question to answer. There are many variables. When we look at the longer timeline, it's even more difficult to predict the correlation between them. I'm going to try and summarize and to focus more on the short term and to see what we can have in terms of influence. Considering the portfolio that you mentioned, it's not a portfolio, and obviously it is addressable for cross-sell of crop insurance, and crop insurance covers climate events. So there is a longer operation by itself. I cannot cross-sell crop insurance because the risk that is subscribed is over. So the harvest has taken place, the produce has been sold. So we have the farmers' golden life insurance. So the bank has been working intensely with the models, as you said, in terms of being more selective in terms of the risk. This is part of the process of adapting to the new reality. And in itself, this is really notable. And there is an impact in terms of the crop insurance. What we have been doing here is to try and find alternatives in other lines, in investments, and that we can somehow cross-sell with other products and portfolio with the farmers insurance and in terms of climate event in the livestock insurance, which is more sensitive to what you said. So in the first quarter, as Delano has just said in his presentation, in the farmer's golden life insurance, which kind of offset the problem with rural insurance. When we look in the long term, looking into 2027, slightly more difficult to predict. And this is related to what I said in the first question of Antonio in terms of El Nino. So, what is the scenario now? We look at the summer crop being harvested. Especially with grains where there is more exposure, soybean and corn, it's record crop for the country as a whole. And we look at El Niño when we talk about margins and supplies. We need to look at the main competitors of Brazil, the US and China, Argentina, for the production of the grains that I have mentioned, that they have good yield. And this implies a surplus and lower prices. At the end of the day, this might lead to a pressure on margins. When we look at the longer term to 2027, I mentioned the effect of El Niño and the impact it may have in the winter crop. extending to the summer crop. But once again, to understand the impact of margin and how this is going to affect Brazil, the US, for this kind of grain. So, for those competitors with a higher impact and more severe, we are going to have a reduction in offer, and this might lead to a positive impact and better margin for farmers and more income. And then farmers will have more income to buy other products. So there are many factors and major volatility for each one of those variables, and it's very difficult for us to project such a long time span. So in terms of designing a scenario, so this might have a negative impact in at first, so higher frequencies of El Niño effects that which might become positive considering how this event affects other regions. And here we have the list of the main competitors with more sensitivity to this underwriting of these products. Thank you very much. Thank you, Daniel. I have a question from Pedro Leduc from Itaú BBA. Please ask your question. Thank you very much for the conference call and for taking our questions. So, were you considering any type of reformulation or new format for the product so that it is have so that it has better penetration? Do you have any vision or any comment to share with us? Considering the program that was announced yesterday for the renegotiation of debts, I'm not sure whether it includes credit life, and there will be a considerable effect on the margins for civil servants and for Social Security members. It's not just for rural, for all our insurance lines, this dynamics are reviewing and adapting to the new reality. It is present. And so there is an important point that the issue of credit life insurance. So we are working to make our products more flexible. We are aware of the theme and impact of high interest rates on the margins that customers have and when the margin needs to be available for them to buy insurance, it's even more difficult. And we've been working with alternatives that will make it possible for our customers and our branch network to include insurance in negotiations to protect credit, and we've been working with credit life insurance. There is some novelty out in the market that has more flexibility. When we do not have margin or flexibility to cover everything, now we have other coverages that are smaller for the portfolio whenever necessary. And I believe that this will bring a significant return to us, considering the situations that we could not place the insurance in now with the changes and everything becoming more flexible. We found a way to be able to meet the needs of our customers, even when the margins does not allow us to cover the entire period of the operation. And we believe that this may bring positive results in the short term for us. As to the Desenrola program, it's still too early. We're working intensely. We do not have an idea of the impact of this credit renegotiation product or program in our portfolios. In general, considering our individual segment, any measures to reduce leverage and to give them more room when we have a longer time with higher interest rates. This is positive, but this is more positive in the midterm. It doesn't have such a positive impact in the short term. We should see evidence that deleverage is happening and that credit is increasing and offsetting the pressure somehow of having a higher interest rate for a longer period. The rural segment, just complementing, as said before, there is a review in the agenda of the government in terms of providing some subvention for the rural segment in terms of protecting agricultural production. So this should be translated in products, and a claims regulation is much cheaper than the regulation that is done today in products with broader coverage. So we do believe that there is huge potential. It's a very good product and very popular in Brazil. It's been developed for grazing areas here in Brazil, and we are trying to adapt it to then cover grains too. But it's a very promising product, and we are seeing it globally. But Brazil is taking it's still taking its first steps. Thank you for the question, Pedro. Now there is a question from Guilherme Grespan from JP Morgan. Guilherme, please open your microphone and ask your question. Thank you, Philippe. Good morning, Delano Sperendio. I have two questions. The first one is just a follow-up, and just apologize if I am being repetitive. It's for Farmers Life Insurance, a very strong performance, something that we didn't see before. Was there an impact of the MP? Is the only addressable insurance for the MP would be life? But most importantly, is the performance of the first quarter sustainable into the second quarter? Are the drivers going to remain positive or not? The second thing about life insurance, most of your portfolio is related to renewals, not too many new sales, and most of the adjustment is tagged to the IGPM. Is there any renewal for the product along the year? And I want to see whether the higher IGPM in the second half, which was quite relevant, would it affect written premiums in the second half of the year or not? Thank you. Thank you very much, Grespan. Thank you for your question. I'm going to start with the first one, with Farmers Life Insurance. Of course, there was a contribution from the renegotiated portfolio. It's not, it was not isolated from the rural portfolio. In the renegotiated portfolio, what we can have today is the Golden Life for farmers, and maybe in the case of rural lien, and there might be something that we can do some upselling. But it's not a significant movement. At the same time, there has been the movement to review the commercial, incentivizing the network as a mechanism of following up the commercial performance and also for renewals. And this was quite helpful in terms of increasing renewals in the first quarter. As to the performance, from now towards the end of the year, we are expecting a quite positive performance, not as big as what we saw in the first quarter year on year, considering the basic comparison basis, which is slightly more difficult. But I'm going to summarize these as the main drivers for Farmers, the Golden Life Insurance. So there is a renewal of So when the 12-month IGPM, we don't do price adjustments. It's zero adjustment. We did the adjustment of the IGPM in terms of price adjustment and coverage for the portfolios. We just need to be very careful in terms of the size. How much the can the IGPM weigh, considering the size, and it may lead to, and as I mentioned in the answer about financial result, is there an acceleration of IGPM? And if I'm not mistaken, Focus is expecting something like 5%. It's not really a material. It's more positive than negative in terms of price adjustment. Thank you very much, Esperendio. Now we have a question from Tiago Binsfeld from Goldman Sachs. Tiago, you may ask your question, please.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for taking my question. It's quite fast. As part of a credit life, can you talk about SME and Pronampe? How do you see these, considering the origination at Banco do Brasil and also including the payroll loan? Thank you very much for your question. As to credit life, what we have been observing, very good performance. And there is a lot of influence of the increase in the addressable portfolio in terms of corporations. In terms of the corporate segment, it's accounting in terms of origination and expansion of lines. In the context of credit life insurance, it's much better than what we have been seeing in a segment of individuals. If we compare year and year in the segment of corporates, there was a threefold growth as compared to last year. So, very, very good performance in corporate insurance that was very positive for the overall performance. So, there's some difficulty of including this. Product for individuals considering interest rates, there is not so much room for the installments to fit into. They can't really afford it. And so the environment to cross-sell the credit life insurance in terms of credit origination or renewal of the operations. But for corporations, it has been having very good performance favored by the new lines that are addressable. And as we said, we can form it while interest rates are at this level. And this is a product adopting a more customized approach in terms of coverage. We can make it cheaper so that it can be affordable, despite the adverse interest rate scenario. And we hope that it's going to be available for the bank's distribution network in the second half of the year, and it should escalate in the second half of the year. Thank you very much.
We have another question from Arnon Shirazi from Citibank. Arnon, good morning. You can ask your question, please. Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. Congratulations on your performance. For the second half of last year, you decided to improve efficiency. How has this been evolving? What can be done? What are you doing? Thank you. Arnon, thank you very much for your question. The pursuit for operational efficiency is a constant in our day-to-day. We are seeing some positive results
and we have just installed a project office to look after our strategic projects for the year, especially in terms of integration of the operations, and we can capture lots of efficiencies. We have been seeing some positive results. So we have some quite relevant numbers. We have been invested on changing the customer journey, reviewing processes, and this has also provided quite significant efficiencies. And as I said before, we are accelerating the delivery of solutions, complementing our portfolio, and these changes were planned to add value to the company, but they're being very important to cover a few gaps. And I believe that when we go through a new cycle of reducing interest rates and the credit cycle is good again, these solutions and changes that we are implementing and trying to make more efficiency, they are going to be very important to leverage our results. So far, we are happy with everything that we've been doing for operational efficiency. We still have a lot to do. There's lots of efficiencies to capture. But so far, we are very happy with what we have achieved. Anything else? This is very much in line with what you have mentioned in terms of mapping, redundancies, and what we see in the companies of the conglomerate, so we can have more synergies and the activities that we can somehow work together, combining the companies of the group. And we've been assessing this, and there is a significant potential for a gain, but it's not for the short term, it's more for the midterm. Thank you, Arnon. Now we have a question by Caio da Prata from UBS. Caio, please ask your question.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for taking my question. This is a very quick follow-up about credit life. Can you explain a little bit, Sperindio's answer, about penetration of credit life in the payroll loan? And for workers' credit, there has been a recent change with the limitation of the total effective cost of those operations. So, do you understand this has some impact, the possible addressable market? But if you could, what is the level of growth that you imagine and that the company can deliver? Considering all the changes that we've been discussing along the call, like the new payroll role, the new credit negotiation program of the federal government. Well, trying to summarize everything. When we look at the scenario as a whole, so any measure to reduce leverage and to give more room for credit is positive. The thing is that this impact is not in the short term. We are going to see the benefits in the company's bottom line in the medium term or in 2, 3 years. Overall, as I said shortly ago, there is an environment with a cycle of cuts in interest rates that is very beneficial for the bottom line, but there is an undeniable impact on the operational aspect. Considering the scenario that we used to have when we published the guidance earlier this year, the overall expectation of guidance and even the interest rates curve was a cut of 1 point. But as I said, before, when we look at the rates and the structure, and you see the cut implied,
is more two cuts of 0.25, even though the Selic will end the year at 13 with two other cuts of 25, which would provide stability in the average Selic rates as compared to actual rates of 2025. And rates at that level is very, very restrictive, and it impacts credit origination, especially for individuals. And as I said before, we've been feeling there. When you break down corporates and individuals, we feel more in individuals than with companies. So the addressable lines, there is less room for corporations to expand the portfolio. We've been working internally, and this is related to what you asked. We are trying to find alternative ways for the product to become cheaper so that it can fit into the credit installment, which is the most effective way for us to place this product out in the market. Now, considering everything that has been going on, even for standard products, we are not seeing a relevant impact for credit life. So it's very cheap compared to the cap that has been imposed. So we are not expecting to see any impact. So overall, and trying to summarize, and I'm not sure I forgot something, but if I did, please remind me. But this is the context that we are seeing for credit life. And this has been one of the main factors that changed from what we announced the guidance. First published the guidance in February, and ever since. It's very clear. Thank you very much. Well, I think that we have no more questions on the line. And in this manner, we are ending our virtual meeting for the first quarter of 2026. Delano, do you have any closing remarks? Thank you very much, Philip. First of all, I would like to thank your attendance, everyone watching us live, especially the trust of our investors and customers. And as I said before, the year remains challenging. Rafael has mentioned a few specific topics in terms of what still means a warning sign for the rest of the year, but with a discipline in implementing our strategy, we will be able to produce good results considering the expectations that we have launched in the beginning of the year. I believe that these solutions and the changes in processes and improvements in terms of defining parameters for the products, new lines for corporate insurance, I think that all of this will bring for the rest of the year stronger results. But we need to work with caution, to be very careful, and work to deliver the results that our company deserves, that our investors expect. Thank you very much for attendance. Our special thanks to our employees. Thank you very much. You rocked again with very robust results. Thank you very much, Philip and Rafael. So we'll see you again next quarter. Thank you.